Well, Bo Ramenyi's first year as a doctor in Doomadgee in Queensland shocked her. She saw a disease that has been virtually eradicated from Australia's non-Indigenous population decades ago, still ravaging young Indigenous Australians. It would spur her to become a paediatric cardiologist. And more than 20 years on, she is still on the front line fighting rheumatic heart disease, now in communities in the Northern Territory. Bo's work has been instrumental in raising awareness and understanding of the condition, and she helped to write Australia's guidelines on the disease, and her work has influenced the national strategy to end it in Australia by 2031. Dr. Bo Ramenyi, welcome to Changing Australia. It's lovely to have you in the studio. Just to take us back, because we're going to be talking a lot about this condition, people kind of think they know what it is, but what is rheumatic heart fever?
To put it simply, rheumatic fever and a consequence rheumatic heart disease is a disease of poverty and social disadvantage. It starts from a simple skin or sore throat caused by a bacteria, group A strep. Now, once the body meets this bacteria a number of times, in certain individuals, it leads to an autoimmune reaction. That means your own white cells in your body, instead of targeting the bacteria, it starts damaging the heart valves.
Mm. And what sort of impacts does that have on young people if they get this condition?
It's absolutely devastating. We're looking at many years of painful penicillin injections, and this has to be given at a clinic or a health centre. So that means going to a health centre every 21 to 28 days to receive this very painful penicillin injection, that's also known as the horse needle, and then being at risk of needing open heart surgery and premature death is the most important consequence.
And why is it that we're seeing a lot of the effects of this on young people in these Indigenous communities?
As I said, rheumatic heart disease is really a disease of social disadvantage. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, the best mark of social disadvantage is rheumatic heart disease. So by the time a child gets rheumatic heart disease, there's many things that had gone wrong, including starting from their living environments, the housing, access to basic health care, and being awareness of the condition.
What's it like for you as a doctor? It sounds like you've had to deliver this news many times to young people and their families. What's it like for you as a clinician getting ready to sit down with a family or a young person and tell them that they have a rheumatic heart condition?
It's absolutely devastating. When I first started working in this field 25 years ago, when I broke this bad news to families, they really had no knowledge of the condition. So when I broke the news of, unfortunately, your child has rheumatic heart disease, their faces were unchanged. There was no reaction. In some ways, the good news about today is now when I break that news, patients and their families break into tears. Today, they know exactly what that means. That means a very long journey with rheumatic heart disease, a risk of open heart surgery, and a risk of losing their children.
Mm. And for quality of life, in addition to those injections, are kids still able to play sport and be active? What sort of effect does that have?
Yeah, so it has very large impact on not just the child, but their entire family and communities. It impacts their ability to attend school. Mm-hmm. Some children find the injection so painful that they have to take a few days off from attending school. That means parents not going to work as well. Mm. Limitations on sports and physical activity. And some children need multiple open heart surgery, because we know that open heart surgery, whilst essential, it's not a cure for rheumatic heart disease if children after open heart surgery, which is very expensive, they return to the same living circumstances.
Mm-hmm. You're known internationally for your work, and I know that you know you're also seeing what's happening in other parts of the world. When people from other countries know that Australia still has this disease, what sort of reaction do you get, given people's perceptions of Australia's wealth and opportunity?
Mm-hmm. When I first started attending international conferences and I was identified as an Australian speaker, they kind of looked at me and said, what would you know about rheumatic heart disease? You live in one of the richest countries in the world. Mm-hmm. So the international experts still feel that, you know, Australia shouldn't have any rheumatic heart disease.
So on this goal of trying to eliminate this disease by 2031, are we on track yet as to where we need to be to get there?
No, we're definitely not on track. So we've got 6 years left until 2031, and the time is ticking. We have been very fortunate that the previous federal government put in some money to fund vaccine development, given that it's an infectious disease. The current government has continued supporting NACHO in relation to supporting remote indigenous communities, but the amount of money spent on prevention of rheumatic heart disease is close to nothing compared with the amount of money spent on open heart surgeries.
Mm. Why? Why does that happen?
I suppose with the current structure of our government, plans are made for three-year cycles. Rheumatic heart disease needs long-term vision to address these problems. Closing the gap targets are something on the mind of both parties of politics, but that's moving forward very slowly. So currently we have all these closing the gap targets related to health, education, employment and housing. But if you just wanted to have a single marker for social development, it would be rheumatic heart disease. Rheumatic heart disease in remote indigenous communities is 100 times higher today than in the non-indigenous counterparts. Now, that rate is getting larger rather than smaller.
So it's actually getting worse.
Yeah. We used to talk about it being 50 or 60 times more common in remote indigenous communities. Now we have reached at 100 times. Mm. Put that into context with kidney disease, which is 4 times more common, or suicide, 3 times more common.
So it's off the charts, isn't
it? It's off the charts.
Mm. So there is a vaccination, you're saying, that can be delivered?
So there's currently no vaccine for this condition anywhere in the world.
Right.
Australia is working on it. The previous federal government has put in $35 million towards initiating this vaccine development, but it needs substantially more funding.
Mm.
Now, if this disease affected all Australians, we would have a vaccine by now.
Can you imagine?
Because it only affects marginalised communities, we're struggling to convince the governments to appropriately fund these developments. Of course, a vaccine would prevent rheumatic heart disease, but would leave the social determinants that cause this behind.
So how hard is it? Someone who's advocating and is an expert in this area, it sounds like there must be a lot of doors to knock on to get this issue dealt with, whether it's the housing minister at the state, territory or federal level, or the health minister or education. All of these things are coming into this, like a canary in the coal mine, this indicator that all this other stuff is not being managed effectively.
Yeah, so it's very important to talk to all levels of government, but really only three people have the chance to change a trajectory of this. It's our Prime Minister, our Health Minister and our Treasurer. So those are the people who are directly responsible for eliminating rheumatic heart disease. The communities are ready. Researchers and scientists are ready. We have the knowledge. We have a blueprint on how to end rheumatic heart disease by 2031, which is aligns with the World Health Organization resolution, which occurred in 2018. We know what to do. The communities are ready. Communities want to end rheumatic heart disease. They're sick of seeing their children suffering and having open heart surgery. So now it's up to those three people to change this and change this forever.
What would it cost?
It's very difficult to cost these things because it includes housing.
Mm.
It includes increased delivery of healthcare where it's needed and often in rural and remote locations.
So was there anything, we've just had a slightly rushed March federal budget, was there any extra money there for you?
So there was no extra money in there. There was a promise of continuing the current funding to NACHO, which is the National Aboriginal Community Organisation that has been given the power to lead this coalition to end rheumatic heart disease. Now, they asked for $19 million funding per annum, and that's very modest.
Mm.
We're talking about very large, very remote areas. Mm. And in the budget, there was $5 million per annum. So $5 million per annum to address rheumatic heart disease is simply insufficient. And it's not because Indigenous people deserve something different. It's just to be just and fair. Communities where they have high burden of disease, they need help to bring them to the Australian standard.
What do you think when you see that gap in numbers?
It's an absolutely disgrace for Australians to tolerate such discrepancies between life expectancy and specifically numbers and rates of rheumatic heart disease in a very rich, a very fair and compassionate country that Australia is.
Some of these young people, they're not old enough to vote yet. They're in very remote parts of the country. Is the political will there from governments to fix this? Because it's far away.
Yeah, so the advantage and disadvantage is that we have a bipartisan agreement to meet the targets of closing the gap. And that also allows both governments to make this a non-election issue because they're both committed, at least on paper and in words. So what we really need to do is get people to stand up and stick to their words of genuinely trying to end rheumatic heart disease by 2031, acknowledging the great initiatives that are in process, like addressing remote housing, addressing the cost of food, addressing the shortage of health workers. But this needs to be accelerated, brought to a different level if we genuinely try to address rheumatic heart disease.
Dr. Bo Remenyi, I've learnt such a lot from you talking about this issue and the way that we're trying to tackle it. It sounds like we've still got a heck of a long way to go. It's been so valuable to have you in the studio today. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That's Dr. Bo Remenyi there, paediatric cardiologist, talking about rheumatic heart disease, particularly in remote Indigenous communities and particularly for young people, people who are in their prime. They've still got so much ahead of them.
You're listening to ABC Radio National.